We're excited that you're here, and we're beginning a brand new series. We've kind of taken a break since Easter on series, but we're beginning a brand new series today that we're calling Snapshot. And what we're going to do in this series is over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to take different areas of our lives or different areas of our faith, and we're going to try to better, we're going to take a snapshot of it and say, how can we better understand this area of our lives? How can we better understand what this looks like being a Jesus follower? How can we better understand those things? And we're going to answer two questions over the next several weeks. And here's the first question. Most of us ask this question when we see something or we hear something or whatever, and we say, well, what's that all about? So we're going to talk in these 5 or 6 areas of our lives. We're going to kind of come at it from the angle of what's that all about? And we're going to pretend like we don't know anything. And we're going to pretend like we're stupid, and we're just going to let God speak to us. And here's the other question that sometimes we ask ourselves, what am I allowed to do? You ever been somewhere and you're like, well, what am I allowed to do? what am I, okay, like I accepted Jesus, what am I allowed to do? Can I do that? Can I do this? Am I supposed to be here? Okay, I need to be there. I need to do that. And so we're going to take those two questions over the next 5 or 6 weeks and kind of break it down on different topics related to our lives and our faith. And so that's where we're going. And then after we finish this series, I'm excited about the next one too, because we're going to do a series that we're calling At the Movies, where we're going to take movies, current movies, and we're going to watch clips from them and be able to pull some truth out of those movie clips. And it's going to be exciting. I think you're going to like it. And so that's where we're going throughout the summer. And as we kick off this series today, I want to talk to you on this subject, and I stole the title of my message today from a book that another pastor wrote because I liked it that much, but we're going to talk about the God I never knew. The God I never knew. And I want to ask you a question as we get going. Have you ever been trying to accomplish something or fix something or do something, and you got in the middle of it, or you started getting toward the end of it, and you realize, I don't have the right tool to do this. I don't have everything that I thought I needed to be able to accomplish that. Come on, I was repairing a faucet in our, anybody ever repaired a faucet in their house? Come on, can I get an amen, somebody? Talking about watching, and here's what I do. I watch YouTube videos, okay? So that's how I roll. I'm watching a YouTube video on how to repair the faucet, and I'm trying to find the right YouTube video, you know what I'm saying? And they're talking about all these different things, different faucets, and you can't just take the faucet off. You got to take off the handles, and then they're talking about if it's this type of faucet, you got to cut a hole in your sheetrock and get behind the bathtub to fix it, and then you got to patch the sheetrock and do all that mess, and I'm like, thank God it didn't end up being something where I had to get behind the sheetrock to fix the faucet. I'm like, it's just a leaky faucet. Come on, somebody. But I got into it, and I'm like, I don't have what I need to actually accomplish this. I thought, well, I'm going to get in here, and I got, you know, tool bag and all this stuff. I'm gonna work this out. I'm going to fix this faucet. And I get in there, and I'm like, I don't have what I need. Now, here's my next question. When you get into a situation or something like that where you don't have everything that you need, how many of us in the room, you stop what you're doing, and you go buy the right thing? Is that anybody in the room? You stop what you're doing. You're like, I'm going to go buy the right tool. I need this exact tool. It needs to be this exact size. I'm going to go buy it. All right? Now, how many of us, here's the rest of us, because we usually all fall into one of two categories. How many of you, whenever you run into a situation like that, you're just looking for anything around you that can help you finish? I'm just going to improvise on whatever I can find. Yep, I'm going to use that. And I can use that as a hammer because I can't find my hammer. So I'm just going to use the end of a screwdriver and just start beating on. You know what I'm saying? We usually all fall into one of two categories. There are the people that just stop what they're doing, and I want the right tool. I'm probably going to need it again in the future, so I'm going to stop and go buy the right thing. And then there are people like me where you just start looking for something that's like, I don't want to leave and go to Home Depot and buy what I need and spend all that time, and I just killed 20 minutes trying to get what I needed to get back. You know, I'm on a roll. I'm just going to get it done, and I'm going to use whatever I can use. And I think we've all been there in our lives. And today we're going to be talking about a subject, and I want to start here. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And the reason I want to start this series by talking to you about the Holy Spirit is because I fear that many of us have left the Holy Spirit out of our lives because we don't get it. We've left the Holy Spirit out because we don't understand it. Well, I saw something one time, and I don't want that, right? Come on, somebody. So we leave the Holy Spirit out because we don't completely understand the person of the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you are looking at, you might be looking at each other right now. You're thinking, we're leaving church. Like, do we need to get up right now? They're talking about the Holy Spirit. Do we need to leave church right now in this moment because of what they're talking about? But I want you to hang with me because I want to bring some clarity to some things, hopefully, and help us better understand it. Because the truth is that the Holy Spirit is the tool that we need in our lives. The Holy Spirit, boy, I like y'all already. Just amen. I didn't even got to my first point. Y'all just amen, amen, amen. That's good. The Holy Spirit is the tool that we need in our lives. If you want to live what Jesus calls the fullest life possible, then you're going to need the Holy Spirit in your life. And I want to start by reading a couple of verses. It's in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. You can follow along on the screen. It says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open. The Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove. A voice came from heaven. It said, you are my son, and I love you. I am very pleased with you. If we go on and we read the rest of this story, we see that after this, the Holy Spirit comes. He leads Jesus into the desert. He's tempted, and he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, come on, somebody say then. Then he starts his calling. Then he starts trying to do what God sent him to do. Not in the middle. It's not, I'm going to start trying to do what God, and then, okay, apparently I need the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to get the Holy Spirit, now I'm going to try to. No, Jesus, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus knew that I need the Holy Spirit while I'm on earth to accomplish what God put me here to accomplish. So here's my question. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, do you think that you and I might need the Holy Spirit in our lives to accomplish what God put us here to accomplish? Because we're talking about perfect Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, leave heaven, come to earth, gave my life up because they can't take it, but I'm going to give it for you, going back to heaven, Jesus. I think if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit before he stepped into God's calling, then we would probably be foolish to think that we can do it on our own, that we can live our life on our own, that we don't need the Holy Spirit in our lives. If Jesus needed him, we need him. And so over the next few minutes, I want to try to help us better understand the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. That's my goal. Here's my goal. Okay, if you're thinking, where's he going with this? This is my goal. I'm just going to tell you up front. So if you need to leave early, don't leave early. But if you need to leave early, emergency or whatever, you'll know, oh, that's what he wanted from me. I want you at the end of the message to be able to look and go, oh. That's it. Just, oh. Oh. Okay, I get it. Oh, okay, I understand it. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh, that's not what I thought it was. Come on, somebody. That's all I want from you is, oh, all right? So my goal at the end of this message is for you to be able to look up here and say, oh, okay. So here's where we're going. Point number one. Here's who the Holy Spirit is to you and me. Here's the first point. He is my helper. You read about the Holy Spirit, and a lot of translations, they translate it as helper. I'm going to send the helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And here are some ways that he helps us. He helps me know what to say. He helps me know what to say. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I don't know if you've been in this situation, but I have, and you're praying for somebody. Somebody asks you, hey, I'm going through something. I want to pray for you. You know, will you pray for me? Okay, I'm going to pray for you. And you pray and you feel led to pray a certain way, or you the scripture pops into your mind and you say that scripture as you're praying. And after you finish praying, the person's like, man, that's the scripture I was reading this morning trying to encourage myself. And you just prayed the same scripture that I read this morning. Can I tell you, that's the Holy Spirit. He's helping you know what to say. Here's one that I didn't even plan on using, and it's not even in my notes, but I'm going to use it anyways, because when I showed up to church this morning, somebody in our church came up to me and said, have you seen, I was telling them, this is what I'm preaching on, and this is where I'm going, and this series we're doing, and we're setting up, and he said, have you seen the verse of the day, right? Bible app. Hopefully you have the Bible app. The verse of the day. Now let me tell you, you can't see the verse of the day in advance. They don't post it till midnight, right? The verse of the day is talking about the Holy Spirit. So when I showed up to church today, I'm thinking, well, thank you, God. I know exactly that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be talking about what I'm supposed to be talking about. That's the Holy Spirit. How else on the day that everybody all is reading this verse about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit, that God had already planned for me to be beginning a brand new series talking about the Holy Spirit? That's the way the Holy Spirit works. He's my helper. He helps me know what to say. He also helps me know what not to say. Because here's what, and this is what this looks like practically. And you're going to laugh because this is so true. This is what we say a lot of times. We'll get in a conversation with somebody and we'll say, I really shouldn't say this. I really shouldn't say this, but, and then we tell them the story, or we say what we're going to say that we really shouldn't say, and then at the end of it, what do? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't say this, but, and we say it, and then, well, I shouldn't have said that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not the pizza that you ate last night trying to keep you from saying that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to help you know what not to say in that moment. You ever been at home, men, and your wife comes in, and you're wanting to bring something up, and all of a sudden you feel like, and the Holy Spirit says, you shouldn't go there. Don't go there. And you just thought, well, I just had this thought. You know, it's like, well, okay, well, maybe today's not the day. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is helping you know what to say and what not to say. I want us to look together at a few verses, John 16, verses 5 through 8, some areas that we can understand how the Holy Spirit is our helper. It says, but now I am going away to the one who sent me, and none of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. So they're upset, they're sad, Jesus is about to leave. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, or the comforter, or the helper, or the encourager, the counselor won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now, the first thing I want to bring clarity to is this word convict, because if you've been in church for more than a week, you've heard this word conviction. And let me tell you how scary the word conviction is. The word convict means convince. So we've had this mentality. It's like, you know, people's like, well, you should be convicted. Well, I hope you're convicted about what you're doing. It's like, if you have a conviction about something, it means I am convinced in that area. If I'm convicted about something, I'm convinced that that's the way I need to do it. I have a conviction that I need to do that. It means I'm convinced that I don't need to go there. That's what convict means. So when we see the word conviction or convicts, that's what we're talking about. So here's the first thing the Holy Spirit helps us with, all under point one, that he's my helper. First thing is he convicts, or he convinces us of sin. John 16:9, we're going to go on to the next. I love the Bible because we read verses 5 through 8 and it's like, okay, that's good. And then 9, 10, and 11 actually explain those three areas where the Holy Spirit helps us. So what it says in verse 9, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. So the Holy Spirit comes to convince us that we need Jesus. So when we read this, that he comes to convict the world of sin, that's not, you know, like, you need to get right with Jesus. That's not what it's saying. It says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to convince the world that they need Jesus. Because if you don't believe that you're a sinner, then you don't think you need a Savior. If you don't think there's anything that you need saving from, then you're not looking for anybody to save you. So the Holy Spirit comes to convince you that there's something, hey, there's some stuff in your life, you just need Jesus. You just need Jesus. So he's convincing us that we need Jesus. Here's the second thing the Holy Spirit helps us with. He convicts or convinces us of righteousness, not of right living. Not of shaming you into doing something, but of righteousness. John 16:10 says, righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Why did Jesus say this? Why are they not going to see him anymore? Because after he died and was raised from the dead, he's telling them, you're not going to see me anymore. I'm going back to heaven. So he's at the right hand of God interceding for you and me. So basically, let me just try to help you understand this. When God looks at you, when you've given your life to Jesus, when God looks at you, God sees Jesus. Are you with me? So that's why it was important. He needed to go back so that he can intercede for you and I. So when God looks, he says, oh, you know, the enemy tries to bring up your past and things that you've done and all this. And God says, well, all I see is Jesus. So I don't know what you're talking about because all I see is Jesus. They gave their life to Jesus, and so all I see is Jesus. So he's convincing us that we are right with God. That because you gave your life to God, you gave your life to Jesus, you received salvation, that you are in right standing with God. That there's nothing else you have to do to be in right standing with God. That when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And here is the third thing. Well, before we do that, I want to read you this verse. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I love these verses. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. That is good news, somebody. And because you belong to him, the power of the living spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The Holy Spirit is convincing you that Satan has no more authority over your life. That you are in right standing with God and he has no more power in your life. That when you gave your life to Jesus, he doesn't have it anymore. That God has taken the power away from the enemy. You're right with God. And here's the third thing the Holy Spirit helps us with. He convicts or convinces us of judgment. John 16:11. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. In other scriptures, it talks about before Jesus died. This is before Jesus died. That the enemy is the ruler of the world. That he's the ruler on this earth, and the Holy Spirit, after Jesus dies and he goes back to heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's going to convince you that the enemy has no more authority, that he's already been judged guilty, and he already knows where he's going. So it's an encouraging, because we read this and we think, well, the Holy Spirit's going to convict me of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And here's what a lot of us do. We hear that and we think this is the way the Holy Spirit is like. The Holy Spirit comes so he can say, you got sin in your life, you're not living right, and God's going to get you. You got sin in your life, you're not doing it right, and God's going to get you. You better watch out because God's going to get you. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is here to do. The Holy Spirit is saying, no, I'm just here to point you to Jesus, to say, hey, here, you're looking for something, what you need is Jesus. That's what convincing you of your sin is, that you just need Jesus in your life, and Jesus can fix all that. Then after that, he's convincing you that it's not based on anything that you do. You're in right standing with God. You're right with God because you gave your life to Jesus, and the enemy has no more power over you. Come on, y'all aren't as excited about that as what I thought you would be, but that's all right. We've misinterpreted it sometimes, and this is, and I'm not putting down anybody that has ever done this, or if you like this thing, I'm just making a point. I've driven through towns, and you'll see somebody, and they'll be standing, you know, at a Walmart or something like that, and they got a sign. You ever seen anybody with a sign? It's like, you know, repent or go to hell, you know, or you need to get your life right, or something like that, or whatever, and I'm like, that doesn't show me that Jesus loves me. Like, why? And maybe that works for some people. That does not work for me. When I hear that, I'm like, because I don't think that's the way God's talking to us. I think that we serve a God that is love and loves us unconditionally and is just trying to convince us that, hey, if you just need me. You just need me. You just need me. You just need me. It's not, you know, don't worry about all the other stuff. You just need me. You just need me. It's not about that at all. The Holy Spirit comes to convince you that you need Jesus and that you're, by accepting Jesus, you're now right with God and that he has stripped all the power away from the enemy. So The Holy Spirit is my helper. He wants to help me. Here's number two. He's my friend, and he's not weird. He's my friend, and he's not weird. I want to address today, and we don't have time to get into all of this today, but I want to address this idea of the Holy Spirit being weird. Because I think many of us have left the Holy Spirit out of our lives because we feel like the Holy Spirit is weird. So I want to talk about it for a moment. And I know today in the room, this is, and I love this about our church. There are people with Lutheran background, Methodist background, Baptist background, Pentecostal background, non-denominational background. I mean, just all of the things you can think of. And I love that about our church, and I hope you do too. Because it's the perfect picture of people just being able to come to Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've been taught. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your viewpoint is. You just need to come to Jesus. You just need to come to Jesus. And I love that about our church, but I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit transcends all denomination. We're a non-denominational church, and even non-denomination. He transcends it all. It's not the Holy Spirit exists here, but not here. And he's over here, but he's not there. And it doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit just exists, and he wants to be your friend. And he's not weird. Can I get an amen, somebody? He's not weird. So why do most of us, or some of us, feel like the Holy Spirit is weird? Here's what I believe. It's because of something you have seen or heard from another person. The reason that most people feel like the Holy Spirit is weird, you have come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is weird because you saw something weird in another person, the way that they talked to you about the Holy Spirit or something that they did that made you feel like, whoo, that's the Holy Spirit. I want none of that, right? And can I just let you in? Can I just free you for a moment and let you in on a little secret? The person or the people that made you feel that way about the Holy Spirit, they would be weird without the Holy Spirit. So it's not, and here's another thing. You hear people and they're talking about, well, I don't believe that a man can live, talking about Jonah and the whale. I don't believe that a man can live in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Well, I don't either. But that doesn't mean it's not real. That just means that God's that big. I also don't believe that a virgin can get pregnant and have a baby, and a man can live on earth and live a sinful life and give his life up for everybody so he saves the entire world. But that doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that God is that good. Are you with me? So the fact that you saw somebody do or say something weird does not mean the Holy Spirit is weird. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is weird. It just means there are weird people. And I'm not trying to offend anybody today. I hope you hear my heart behind this. But somebody that made you feel weird about the Holy Spirit, they're going to be weird anyway. Sometimes people are just weird, and sometimes we get it wrong, and we just mess up, and we do weird things. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is weird. And who do you think has worked so hard to try to convince us to be afraid of the Holy Spirit? It's not God. It's the enemy. He has worked so hard to try to make people afraid of the Holy Spirit so that we'll leave the Holy Spirit out of our lives because we feel like he's weird. And if that's what it's all about, then I don't want any part of that. What you have seen is not what the Holy Spirit is all about. And the person that made you feel that way would be weird anyway. They're just weird. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So, the enemy is working so hard, and here's what he's done to cause us to be afraid and to fear and to feel like the Holy Spirit is weird. He's created all this. People start realizing, man, I might need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. And so the enemy comes along and he creates all this controversy and he puts all the focus on one gift. He puts all the focus on one. I don't know if you've read your Bible lately, but there's not just one gift. There are multiple gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give. And so what he's done is he's created all this controversy. He's put all the focus on one gift that some people think is okay and some people think is weird. And here's what we've done. We've created denominations based on this one thing. So there's a denomination that, well, we believe in that gift, and that's a really important gift. We believe that that gift has passed away. We believe that the Holy Spirit is all of those things and not just one. We believe that the Holy Spirit's weird. And so we've created denomination based on groups of people that got together and said, what do you believe on this one thing? What do you believe on this one thing? And let's take that one thing and let's base everything around it. Because and the enemy, can I just tell you, he's done a good job. He's done a good job, because some of you in this room, when you heard we were talking about the Holy Spirit, you really were. You were like, oh my God, what are we like, what are we talking about today? But, and you know why you felt that way? Because he's done a good job. He's done a good job of making us feel like we need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit and that he is weird. Another thing that he's done, and this is one term that I personally don't care for. I don't care if you use this term, but I don't like the term evidence. Like, we're looking for the evidence. We're looking for the evidence that you've received the Holy Spirit. Like, do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, was there evidence that you did it? And see, here's the word that I like to use, is benefit. Because I believe there's benefit that comes with receiving the Holy Spirit into your life. And the enemy and people, we're not going to leave out people, because we've done a good job of this too, of mixing it up, and we've gotten the focus on, we need to figure out who has and who has not received the Holy Spirit instead of, man, if you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, you get all this stuff. And what are some of the benefits? Power to witness. I mean, my goodness, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus first sent the Holy Spirit, Peter gets up and he preaches, and it's like 3,000 people get saved in a moment. That doesn't happen without the Holy Spirit. I mean, love is a benefit of the Holy Spirit. You know, you read 1 Corinthians, and there's the love chapter in 13, and chapters 12 and 14 are talking about leadership and the gifts and different things like that. And in chapter 13, Paul says, but if you ain't got love, it ain't doing you no good. You can do everything you want to do. And if you don't have love in your heart for people, then it's all worthless. So the Holy Spirit, the benefit is love. We get power, the fruit of the Spirit. Many of us have heard of that, and we don't have time to get into all that today, but you receive all those things with the Holy Spirit and the gifts, and all of the gifts, not just one. It's not about one gift. It's about all the gifts. God wants, and here's the thing. He doesn't force anything on you. So it's not like, well, I haven't received this gift, so it didn't happen. Or, well, I hadn't received this gift, but they have that gift, but you have that gift. That's the way God intended for it to work. That's why there are multiple gifts. That God, when you receive the Holy Spirit wants to gift you to do something so that he can work through you. So the Holy Spirit, he's our helper, he's our friend, and he's not weird. And here's what I want you to hear today before I move on to point three, is you can be a normal person and believe in the Holy Spirit. You can be a normal person and have the Holy Spirit working in your life. It's not anything that's weird. And here's number three. My God. And let me tell you, let me show you where I'm going with this, because if I was to ask you, well, are you afraid of God? You would probably say no. No, I'm not afraid of God. Are you afraid of Jesus? No, I'm not afraid of Jesus. Died for me, rose from the dead. I'm good with Jesus. But something happens when I ask you if you're okay with the Holy Spirit. And there's something wrong with that. And here's the reason why. Because God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if you're not afraid of God the Father, and you're not afraid of God the Son, then why should you be afraid of the Holy Spirit? Here's the reason why. Because somewhere along the way, you've seen something or heard something or done something or whatever that has led you to believe that you don't want that because it's weird and it's you know, I don't want to look like that. I don't want to be like, you know, the Holy Spirit's not weird. And he's your God. Because it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if you're not afraid of the Father and the Son, then why would you be afraid of the Holy Spirit? There's no reason for us to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. I want to read you something that describes the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I didn't write this. I found this. And so I'm just going to read this to you because I liked it that much that I wanted to read it. Because I believe it takes all of it and it puts it in perspective so that we can see, oh, this is who the Holy Spirit is to me. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come back up. It says, the Holy Spirit intercedes through us on earth. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies ministers for their work. It is the Holy Spirit that makes them overseers of the flock. He hears, speaks, teaches, and guides us into all truth. He glorifies Christ, receives from Christ, shows us Christ, and brings all of Christ's words to our remembrance. It is better for us that Jesus left so he could come. He shows us things to come, knows the deep things of God, searches all things, and reveals all things. Where he is, there is liberty. The writers of the Bible spoke as they were moved by him. We are warned not to grieve him or quench him. The sin against him is unpardonable because sin against him is against the one who can reveal the Son to us. Unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We are convicted by him, born again by him, led by him, filled with him, and sealed by him. Is there anything in there that's bad? There's nothing in there that's okay, I can receive the Holy Spirit and he's going to lead me. He's going to help me make good decisions. He's going to reveal, you know, things that Jesus has said. He's going to bring those things back to my memory when I need them. He's going to help me know what to say and what not to say. He's going to lead me into all truth. There's nothing weird or anything bad about it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the Holy Spirit. He's not weird. And as I wrap it up, I want to tell you this story, just a personal story, and then we're going to sing a song and we'll worship one more time, and then we'll be dismissed today. But we were, before starting Impact Church, we were at another church, and we resigned from there and moved here because God was calling us to plant this church. And I remember when we were in worship one Sunday, and in the middle of worship, it was like I spotted somebody. We did, my wife and I. We spotted this couple, this younger couple, across the auditorium. And it was like in that moment, the Holy Spirit said, because it was a Holy Spirit, said, I want you to write them a check for this amount of money. And it was like it wasn't a write them a check and you just decide. It was, we knew exactly how much we were supposed to give them. And so we did what most, you know, really deep believers do. We start saying, God, is that really you? Because anything that involves money, we're always asking God like 15 times before we do it, right? It's like, God, I'll just walk on water for you, but when it comes to my pocketbook, don't even ask me to go there, right? God, is that really you? Like the devil would ask you to do something that benefits somebody else, right? So after we're like, God, is that really you? And of course it was. And so after the service that day, we go up to them and we say, hey, we don't know you, but we want to give this to you because we felt led to give this to you. And they didn't look at it then. They left, and we come back the next Sunday, and they find us, and they're like, hey, we wanted to tell you that what you gave us was exactly what we needed. We were in a pinch, and we had some stuff come up, and we needed that exact amount of money to be able to cover the rest of our bills for this month. And when you gave that to us, it was exactly what we needed. Can I tell you, the person that told us to do that is not weird. The person that told us to do that loves you enough and loves me enough that he would use somebody else and speak to them so that they can come give you what you need so that you have what you need, and he'll speak to you so that you can be able to come on. Our word for the year is overflow. Overflow. That when whatever God gives you, he's going to give you more than enough so that you can be a blessing to those around you. The way that you know who to bless and what to do with it is the Holy Spirit. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and impress on your heart. It's not an audible voice. I don't want you to misunderstand me. You're not going to hear an audible voice from heaven telling you what to do. You'll just know in your heart. You'll just know, man, I feel like I'm supposed to give them this. I'm standing in line at the grocery store. I feel like, for some reason, I'm supposed to buy their grocery behind me. We've had people, you'll be at Starbucks. We'll go through the line at Starbucks, and by the time we get to the window, they're like, oh, the car in front of you just paid for yours. Like, that's the Holy Spirit. That's how much God loves you, that he would send somebody else to do something for you so that he would remind you that, hey, I see you where you are. I haven't forgotten about you. I know what's going on in your life, and see, I'm working. Even though you don't think I'm working, I'm working. That's the Holy Spirit. Will you stand to your feet today? Come on, he's here to help us. He's here to be our friend. And he's our God. He's our God. And he's not weird. There's nothing weird about the Holy Spirit. There's nothing weird about the Holy Spirit. That's why being at Impact Church, there are some things here that we're not going to do that you might have experienced somewhere else. It's because the Holy Spirit's not weird. And we want the Holy Spirit to do in your life what he wants to do in your life. We want him to do, because he wants to do something in you and he wants to do something in me, and it may not look exactly the same. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want to give this invitation before we pray and sing. That if you're here today and maybe your first step, you need salvation. You need to receive Jesus, and today you're sitting here and you think, man, that's where I am. I need Jesus in my life. Maybe that's how the Holy Spirit's working on you today. That's how he works. He's trying to convince you that you need Jesus. And so if you're here and you're ready to receive Jesus, there's nothing special about this prayer, nothing that's coming out of my mouth, but I believe if you pray this and you just mean this in your heart, that you can walk out today knowing I'm right with God, that I've been forgiven and God has washed away all of my sins. So come on, as a church body, come on, in celebration and in support of those who are making this decision for the first time, can we all pray this? Just pray this out loud with me. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner, and I need you in my life. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said, amen. Can we celebrate with those who made that decision for the first time today? That's good news. Good news. Well, here's what I want to do. We're going to sing one final song and we're going to worship together. But if you need prayer for any area of your life, you got something that you're going through, something that you're facing, something that you just need encouragement in, or maybe you don't know even how to pray in this moment, you just need somebody to pray for you. It would be an honor if you would allow us to pray for you. We just want to believe with you and encourage you and be there for you and just see God move in your life. There's nothing weird that will happen when you come for prayer. I promise you. There will be nothing weird about you coming for prayer. If you need prayer for anything in your life, we want you to come. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for your work. And I pray that as we sing this final song, that you would draw every person that needs prayer, God, that they would step out of their seat and they would come and allow us to pray for them. We thank you for it, and we lift you up in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.